There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
A Dubai Eye 103.8 special.
Broadcasting live from the 2018 Emirates Airline Festival of Literature for the Love of Words.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Andy Riley, welcome to Talking of Books. Anyway, Andy, this is your, I think, first, if you hold the end of it, doesn't work.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah. This is your first visit to Dubai.
It is, yes.
And have you done a? Have you been out to do a school visit yet?
Yes, I went to Jess at the Jumeirah School,
yes.
And I talked to several hundred young people there, a lot of whom were dressed as cave people. They had a sort of cavemanish look for a reason that was never quite explained to me.
Is that the series of books that you're going to write in the future?
No, I don't know.
Were you inspired?
It was some project that they were doing, but they were really good. It was great fun being there.
And I didn't realise that you were the person behind the Bunny Suicides series,
yeah.
Which I absolutely... That's not a children's book,
yeah, well,
say.
that's the thing. Between about sort of 14 and 10 years ago, I did three books of cartoons, The Book of Bunny Suicides, Return of the Bunny Suicides, and Dawn of the Bunny Suicides,
yeah.
Which did very well and sold in a lot of countries. And I... When I'm publicising my children's books, I don't really mention them very much.
Don't mention this because it's upsetting.
Yeah, you just have to sort of keep that. Because I can't honestly say that the topic of suicide is dealt with in a very thoughtful way.
No.
It's lots of cartoons of amusing ways for rabbits to decapitate themselves and electrocute themselves.
Yeah. That just reminds me of a wonderful poem that the one and only patron saint of poetry, Roger McGough, recited to us. And he gave us, you know, we were so upset at the first ending. He gave us option one of the bunny, and then we all sort of were in protest, so he gave us option two, which was even worse. But anyway, Andy, tell us about your wonderful books that you write for children. And your session is on at 2 p.m. today, I
believe. It is, yes.
Yeah.
They are the King Flashy Pants books. There are three of them out at the moment. I'm working on the fourth and fifth right now. And they are set in a fantasy world, sort of medieval-ish world. And they're about a boy king, a nine-year-old boy who happens to be a king and doesn't really know what he's doing. And makes various terrible mistakes, much like if any of us at the age of nine, particularly me, were put in charge of a kingdom, it wouldn't always go smoothly. So there's lots of jokes in them and lots of fun, as funny as I can make them. And he's always battling the evil Emperor Nurbison, who lives in the next door kingdom and is a kind of Ming the Merciless type, with a Ming the Merciless beard.
What made you? I mean, you're obviously a screenwriter. You've had a hugely successful career in many ways. But what made you take up writing for children?
Well, it was about 2014. By this time, I'd been a TV and film comedy writer for about 20 years and a cartoonist. And there was a stage in the spring where, during the day, I was working on the TV adaptation of The Boy in the Dress, which is the David Walliams books. And then I was going home, and my wife Polly had recently become a children's author at this point. She's called Polly Faber, and she does the Mango and Bam Bang books, which are about a tapir. So there was loads of children's books in the house, and my own children had lots of books. I was reading books to them, talking about books to them, and making up stories at bedtime. So from morning, noon, and night, I was taking in children's books left, right, and centre. And as a comedy writer and a cartoonist, it was only a matter of time before I started going, you know what, I should get some of this going. I should do this. Because when I was making up stories for my children, they always had to be about Richard the Cow and Alistair the Horse. There were two characters that I just made up one day, and they always requested Richard the Cow and Alistair the Horse stories. And sooner or later you think, well, I've got to start writing this down.
And brilliant that you could do the illustrations as well. So a perfect match.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It sort of used my skill set.
Yeah.
So I thought it had to be worth a go.
But you're also doing something else today. You're on something completely different, I believe.
Yes.
With Mr. Hickson, Charlie Hickson.
I am on a panel with Charlie about comedy script writing.
Yeah, which I think actually for a lot of people in Dubai, I think that's on at 12 o'clock. if you haven't got a ticket for that and you script writing is something that you're really into, particularly if it's comedy writing, come down and meet Andy and Charlie and hear from the experts. Because again, Charlie, you know, Charlie, like you, is multi-talented. He's seen popping up on the TV screen, Charlie, in things, and he's writing things.
Charlie can act, you see.
Exactly.
That's one thing that I can't do.
Oh, you can.
No, I was in a couple of school plays. I was one of the kids in a village show when I was about 9 or 10. We did a couple of songs from Oliver. And also, the last time that I acted was against Steve Coogan. When he was Alan Partridge for a one-off thing for the 1997 UK general election. There was a little sketch with Alan Partridge in for a show that I was doing. And so I was acting alongside the greatest British comic actor of his generation. Doing the greatest comic character of his generation. And I sort of thought, no, I can't do this. I staggered through it. The whole thing is on YouTube.
We're going to search that out later.
It's on YouTube, and I just about get through it. But I thought, no, I'm not going to do that again.
I've always thought, I mean, it is, you're quite right, Yvette, seriously funny scripts, Charlie Hicks and Andy Reilly at 12 noon. So if you're interested in finding out how to write humour comedy with these two amazing gentlemen, come down to the Intercontinental Festival City and you may still be lucky enough to get a ticket. But I've always believed that writing humour is the most difficult thing to do. I mean, anyone can write, Shakespeare could write a tragedy, anyone can write a tragedy, but humour.
Isabel's quote of the day. Hamlet, anybody could have done that.
Yeah. Well, I've always thought that writing a sad thing is much, much easier than it ever is to write to write something that is funny, laugh out loud funny, or makes perfect sense.
Well, when you're writing narrative comedy, stories and characters in, you have to do all of the things that the drama writers do. You have to create interest and tension and then on the top of all that, you've got to get all the jokes in. So I think it is in some ways more demanding. Although, my microphone is too far away. There we go. I'll get it. I'm sorry.
This is why you're taking off the acting, isn't it?
I seem to be getting small and quiet. Yeah. To those of you listening, I apologise. So yes, it is difficult. We always like to say that as comedy writers, but it is difficult.
What have you done? What have you been able to do while you've been here in Dubai? I hope you've been out a bit, that we've let you out a little bit to see wonderful Dubai.
Well, a little less than I wanted to, because I had to crack the storyline of a book. So some of my time off I've spent in my hotel room, literally laying out index cards in a huge pattern on the floor. But I got the storyline that I wanted. Now, I've ventured out of this complex exactly twice, once to do the school trip, and the other time to go and drink cocktails with my agent.
Oh, well.
In a hotel up by the Palm.
Very nice.
Which was nice. So I have sort of...
I've at least seen
a good deal of Dubai from the car.
Yeah, well, you'll have to come back again, Andy.
Yes, it'll be nice.
If you will. And next time we'll try and make sure that you haven't got any writing to do, or we won't let you, and just send you out to the desert and all the other lovely things.
Yeah, having said that, I did manage to have yesterday afternoon off, and I read Ursula Le Guin by the pool.
Oh.
And it was really nice. It was the nicest afternoon I've had in some time.
Yes, yes.
With absolutely nothing to do with that.
Yeah. So are your children your greatest critics, would you say? Do you test things out on them?
No, I never have done that. I never have. Because when you're writing for film and TV, you have to keep justifying what you're writing over and over and over again to rooms full of people. You have to show script editors and actors and directors and channel executives, and everything has to be argued over 100 times. For books, I really like the opposite thing, where all I have to do is convince one person who's my editor, and then it's fine, you see? So I don't show it to my kids, because I want to minimise the number of people who are telling me what to not do. I just like these books to be I just want them to be like I want them to be. And I'm lucky enough that I can mostly get away with that.
So I
trust my own guesses based on having children knocking about with children quite a lot and having once been a child as to what might work.
Is there an expectation, because you write comedy, that you are always going to be the life and soul of the party?
No.
Good.
I think
that's people. A terrible strain.
I think people expect that of comedians.
Yeah, but not
not so much comedy writers. That when you're a comedy writer, you learn quite early on, in a social setting where no one really knows what you do for a living. So you're meeting a group of people in a pub, you don't know them all. You learn to not actually let on for a long time that you're a comedy writer.
Yeah, probably a good move.
Well, here's the problem. You say, I write scripts for telly. Oh, what kind of scripts? Comedy scripts. Oh, right. Anything I might have seen. And then, if you don't name that person's favourite TV show ever, you're a disappointment.
Well, you're not being a disappointment today.
You might have written something really good that you're really proud of, and people go, you know, it's not... Here's the thing about that show.
You're listening to Talking of Books.
Broadcasting live from the 2018 Emirates Airline Festival of Literature for the Love of Words.
Only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
So we were just discussing with Andy Riley, who's joined us in the outside broadcast area at Emirates Airline Festival of Literature today, Spitting Image, which was a show that I well remember and used to absolutely love watching. And I think I still have those images in my head rather than the images of the real people. So what was it like working on that? Must have been quite exciting.
Spitting Image. I worked on the last four series of it when everyone was saying it's nowhere near as funny as it used to be.
Oh dear!
And I was a young guy. I was in my early 20s, and in my teenage years, I absolutely loved the show. You see, because I wanted to be a cartoonist when I grew up, which luckily I managed to be. So I always thought when I was a teenager that I'd be the caricaturist that made the heads. By my early 20s, I realised that I was nowhere near a good enough artist to do that because the people making the heads were geniuses. But I could write the show. But this was in the John Major years, and it was harder then, I think, than in the Thatcher years.
I mean, yeah, the politicians weren't
because
as good,
were
they?
They weren't bad, you know. They were okay. Kenneth Clark was always very funny.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
And also, we were around for the beginnings of Tony Blair.
Mm.
And John Smith was always very hard to do. He was the leader of the Labour Party for a bit. No one could ever do a John Smith joke that was funny at all. But Blair was a godsend. He was like a gift from heaven with his big, stupid smile.
But
John Major was not as compelling a central character for the show as Margaret Thatcher.
No.
And so it always suffered from that.
Mm. But it was an absolute... iconic program of its time, and as Yvette said, it's sort of, you know, I think it was probably good that it ended, because it would have just it was a product of the people that were in the public eye.
Get away with it now, actually, without
I mean,
offence and being sued.
Yeah.
Oh, well, shows like that have happened. I mean, there was Head Cases, which was a CG one.
Mm-hmm.
And recently there was another puppet one, which uses a different style of puppetry. So you can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that one really was an iconic at first... in the way that it was done, and the whole title, Spitting Images, and everything about it.
For people like me who are stuck in a time warp because of when we left the UK to go to live here.
Yeah, exactly.
And so anybody who wants to learn more about how to do that, come along at 12 o'clock.
Yes. Seriously funny scripts.
Between us, we've got about 90 years of experience.
Oh, well.
I think so.
We
should be able to answer any question. I mean, I think we've,
that'd be brilliant.
I've done pretty much every aspect of the job that there is. I've worked in Britain. I've worked in America. I've worked on hit shows and flop shows, and I've done plenty.
And are you working? You are obviously working on your next children's book.
I am. Yes. I've just finished the fourth one in the King Flashy Pants series. That's all locked and off to the printers. And, of course, after it's off to the printers, that's when you discover that there's two typos in it that you didn't spot.
Never look at it once it's gone to the printers.
We discovered it, we see, when we were doing the audiobook.
Oh.
And there was a couple of bits that had changed that I hadn't taken the trouble to read aloud before. So it really hurts when you find those.
Are you reading the audiobook?
No, that's Matt Bainton, who's a really good actor.
I wouldn't
read the audiobook because I'd be fine doing most of it, but I can only do about two voices. This is one. Oh, no, I can do three voices.
Okay, can you give us them?
I'm going to do them for you. I could do this voice. I can do some sort of posh villain voice, and I can go a little bit West Country, and that's about it.
It's a bit limiting.
Exactly.
For an
audio book, you see, it's fine if you're reading out an autobiography or something. But if you have to play like eight different characters, you've got to get an actor in. Unless you're an actor.
This is true.
So you better too. And audiobooks are incredibly popular in Dubai just because people spend a lot of time driving from A to B and they're in
yes.
the car, or they're listening to it on their phones or whatever. So you're a great fan of audiobooks, aren't you?
I do love an audiobook. Yeah.
I did find the sort of seven-lane highways quite terrifying, even though I wasn't even driving.
Yes.
Yeah, what is probably scary for anybody out on those seven-lane highways is that when I am listening to an audiobook in the car, I have been known to sort of miss my turn off. So obviously not fully focused on driving, so maybe the audiobook's not a good thing for me to be listening to in the car.
maybe you just need only very slightly interesting books.
Yes, boring books.
Really boring books so that you can ignore. I'll try and write you some.
Thanks, that'd be brilliant.
It's been such a pleasure, Andy, having you on Talking of Books today, and wish you a wonderful, seriously funny session with Charlie Higson, and then the wonderful session about King Flashy Pants. With your friend David Williams,
I
believe.
Yeah, we're sort of reversing the trick on each other. So I asked him the questions for his section, and he's asking me the questions. And my session with David has sold out. I think that's more to do with David than me.
No, don't say that.
But it's true.
I want to see you with an hour and a half signing queue.
Well, hopefully, yes. But I think a number of people there may be there because of his name.
Just try not to let him get a word in edgeways.
No, he'll run rings around me. He's done this. He's at a national chat show on ITV. He's done this for a living.
So we will bid you farewell, so you can go and do any prep you need to do.
Ta-ta.
Thank you very much, Andy Riley.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.